Christopher Stevens is going to share with us a eulogy for Margaret Christie. I did not know Margaret Christie, even though I'm the pastor here. She moved a few years ago down to Virginia, and I did not have the opportunity to meet with her. So Christopher's going to share some words about Margaret Christie. Before that, though, I'd like to read this poem that was marked out as very significant. The title is I'm Free. The author is unknown. Don't grieve for me, for now I'm free. I'm following the path God laid for me. I took his hand when I heard him call. I turned my back and left it all. I could not stay another day to laugh, to love, to work or play. Tasks left undone must stay that way. I found that place at the close of day. If my parting has left a void, then fill it with remembered joy. A friendship shared, a laugh, a kiss. Ah, yes, these things I too will miss. Be not burdened with times of sorrow. I wish you the sunshine of tomorrow. My life's been full. I savored much. Good friends, good times, a loved one's touch. Perhaps my time seems all too brief. Don't lengthen it now with undue grief. Lift up your heart and share with me. God wanted me now. He set me free. Now I invite Christopher to come forward.
This eulogy for Margaret was written by Todd Christie, her son, and Todd has given me the great honor to deliver it here today. But to minimize some of the confusion, the words I and me are Todd, not me. Margaret Christie was known by many names. Margaret, Mother, Mom, Aunt Margaret, Grand Steve, and Grand. Fitting for someone we knew in so many different ways and whom we all loved. When Mom was born, Margaret was the fourth most popular name given to girls in the U.S., so naturally she had many friends who shared her name, and they needed some way to identify one another. There was Marge and Peg and Margie, but Mom would never say an answer to any of those names. She was Stevie, a term of endearment that her friends used until the very end. And, if you were sending her a letter, it made the unfortunate mistake of addressing it to Mrs. Margaret Christie. Well, then you'd better have done well to head to the nearest bomb shelter. She was Mrs. Cecil M. Christie. You'd better not forget it. For those of you who don't know her full history, and who among us can remember nearly a full century, Margaret was born in the Flatbush section of Brooklyn to Joseph and Alice Stevens. She adored her younger brother, Tom, with whom she was close until he passed away in 1999. She attended the Berkeley Institute in Brooklyn from grades 8 to 12 and graduated in 1936. She spent many childhood summers at Camp Cocosing in Maine, both as a counselor and a camper. She then went on to Smith College and graduated with a math major in 1940. She made many lifelong friends while at Berkeley and Smith, and she returned to Smith for a number of reunions. Long before social networking and emailing made it simple to stay in touch, she and six of her friends shared what they called ground letters. One would write a letter to the group and send it on to the next one in line, who would send the letter on and on until the letters again found their way back to the beginning. They kept this tradition for decades. Margaret married shortly after graduating from Smith, and although her marriage didn't last, it did produce a wonderful daughter, Patty. She later married Cecil Christie, a banker, and moved to New Jersey. After several years, they left New Jersey to purchase and operate a motel in Virginia, after Sis decided that he'd had enough of banking. When she learned she was pregnant with Todd, they moved back to New Jersey, where she lived in the same home for more than 50 years. Margaret was a Renaissance woman, and certainly ahead of her time. While she attended Smith, only 5% of American women attended college. I used to kid her that college must have been much different then, since she admitted to knitting sweaters during classes, and even had the instructions on the inside cover of her French dictionary. In 1970, amidst the women's liberation movement, she took a job as an office supervisor for U.S. Census. She later worked as a real estate agent for over 10 years. She volunteered as a Sunday school teacher, a Girl Scout leader, a Cub Scout den mother, a member of the Ladies Auxiliary at both Valley and Pascack Valley hospitals, served as both an advisory board member and a trustee for Hillsdale House Senior Housing, and was the treasurer of this church. Had she been born a generation or two later, she would have had an outstanding professional career. As it was, she was perfectly content to take pride in the accomplishments of her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. She never complained or gave any evidence that she was unhappy in the path that her life had taken. Margaret was a voracious reader. She faithfully read newspapers every day and Time magazine every week. And over the past couple of years, she kept Patty and Hal busy going back and forth from the library, often checking out 6 books at a time. She loved to do crossword puzzles, in ink no less. And she and Hal would debate the proper way to complete a Sudoku. I always needed to be on my toes when she would ask about some current event, and she'd usually start the conversation with, "Well, of course you know that," when of course I really didn't. And there were countless times when she would tell me something that sounded utterly preposterous, and I would tell her so, only have to eat crow later after doing some research and finding out that what she had said was in fact true. She was also an avid gardener, and both her gardens and indoor plants at her home in Hillsdale were her pride and joy. She amazed Carrie Ann with her uncanny ability to name any plant in its scientific name in Latin. She was a longtime member of the Sundial Garden Club in Hillsdale, and she passed along her love of garden to Mary Jane and me. She and Hal, her fellow master gardener, have spent many conversations about gardening tricks and techniques. Patty and I, and probably some of you, have many plants that began life in our gardens. They say that people and their pets grow to resemble one another, and Margaret was no different. She had 5 dogs over the course of her life, and every one of them was a terrier. That's certainly no coincidence. Here's a sampling of the American Kennel Club's description of terriers. See if it sounds familiar. These are feisty, energetic dogs. Many project the attitude that they're always eager for spirited argument. In general, they make engaging pets but require owners with determination to match their dog's lively characters. Margaret was fortunate to be able to travel. She took her first trips to the West Coast and in Europe with Todd. She and Patty rode a jet boat through the Whitewater and the Snake River Canyon when Mom was a senior citizen, and toured England and Scotland together. She visited the ancient ruins in Greece and Turkey with her good friends, and she took Carrie Ann and Stephen on a cruise through the Panama Canal. One of her favorite trips was a European river cruise, during which she passed a castle in her grandfather's hometown of Elkville, Germany. Margaret's uncle of that same castle has hung in her home for as long as I can remember. She was an active member of this church for 50 years and a member of the Sarah Circle at UMW for most of that time. One of the things I admired most about Mom was her integrity. While others might be okay to bend the rules, she held herself to the highest possible standards. There was no gray area when it came to right and wrong. When Margaret was no longer able to live independently about 3 years ago, Patty and Hal graciously welcomed her into their home, where they have lovingly cared for her and allowed her to live in comfort and with family. This kindness made her final years happy and comfortable. Family was of great importance to Margaret. From my earliest years until my recent visits with her, she shared fond memories of her grand, who she honored by requesting that her own grandchildren and great-grandchildren call her by that honorific. She spoke regularly of gatherings and what other family members, most of whom I have never had the pleasure of meeting. And of course, there was her mom, the original Bama, and her brother Tom. When Bama was the most senior member of the clan, Margaret spoke of her mother's role with some reverence, as if she were some queen overseeing her loyal subjects. When it became Margaret's turn to be the family matriarch, she gladly ruled and sometimes felt her seniority carried the force of law. Like her mother before her, her greatest joy came from having her family together, and in her later years she was happy just observing all of the activity and turning off her hearing aids when the noise became too much. She would have been thrilled to see all of us here together today and humbled to know how far some of you have traveled to honor her memory. She took vicarious pleasure from the accomplishments of her family members and expressed pride in large and small, whether it was winning a swimming medal, or joining the marching band, getting a good score on a test, or gaining a job promotion. She loved Hal and Mary Jane as if they were her own children and was forever grateful to be included in the Franco family gatherings. Margaret was a planner and kept meticulous notes on all aspects of her life. She occasionally wrote down her own thoughts as well as quotes that she found inspiring. And so it is fitting that I conclude with two of these. She wrote the first after her own grand passing in 1957. Shed no tears for me. Can't you see I am contented and at peace? My lonely days and nights are done, and I am one with God. The second is a quote from Sophocles, the ancient Greek playwright. We must wait until the evening to know how splendid the day has been. For your evening has come, Margaret, and we are left to bask in the afterglow of the setting sun. Godspeed, and may we all meet again.
Words. Thank you, Tom. Let's stand together now and sing the hymn, God of the Sparrow.